might start to, yeah, we'll have, if you're done, just kind of hold it up and out, and Joshua or Carrie will collect those as well. Also, if you have homework, you've been doing the lessons, I hope you have been, great way to track your progress. You hand those in at the same time now with the quizzes, you can give it to them. Remember, these outputs are so important for learning, right? Perished the thought that we'd ever do make work in this class, but it's a reason why in schools, and you know, when I went to school and in seminary, they make you do outputs. So the homework is helping solidify, I pray for you, what you're learning. So hand those in. It's great. Then when we're done that, I'm going to read a passage, and then we will pray. If you've done and handed it in, you can turn to 2 Timothy 2. Turn to 2 Timothy 2. We're going to start in verse 14. Second Timothy 2:14. I'm just going to read down to 19. So look along with me. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing the seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Jerry, you want to open in prayer for us?
Father, we are grateful for this morning, and most of all, we're grateful for your Son. Thank you, Lord, that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Thank you that he became a substitute for us on the cross, and because he died and he rose again, we have life today. Thank you that you've given us the ability to trust in him, and that you have secured us in him, and because of that, Lord, we are secure not just for today but for eternity. So even as we are here this morning, we thank you that our knowledge and our right answers are not what gives us a good standing with you, but your knowledge of us and your delight in Christ is what gives us a right standing with you. So even as we now study and as we learn in faith, Lord, we want to look more like your Son, the one that delights you. So open our hearts and our minds so that we look more like him. Please help Jason to teach so that you would be exalted in our eyes and in our midst, and Lord, that we would be equipped for every good work. We thank you and praise you for this morning in Jesus Christ's most precious name. Amen.
Amen. So let's begin with this, that memorization, if you were to memorize, it's good physically, right? It's good for your mind. It's a good thing physically. I want to lay that before you. It's not just little kids have elastic minds and they can do that. As we get older, and sometimes as memorization gets harder, we tend to want to push away from it. But it's very, very good. Now, it has physical benefits, but also has spiritual benefits. That's why also we do that with the lessons. Each week, there's a memory verse, and we cannot more strongly encourage you to memorize them. And it's been great to hear how blessed some of you are with, you've got your Rolodex in your mind of verses now, and that's just so good, right? Really, really good. This one, of course, is ours for this lesson. We're on lesson two. And by the way, we'll be on lesson two for 2 weeks. Then we move to lesson three, which is 3 weeks. And then we really settle into about a two-week pattern for the rest of the term. Then we'll talk about what the new year will look like for each lesson. And it's still never enough time to cover the content, but we make a go at it. And remember, this is at least a pass and a go, so we can get into it. So 2 Timothy 2:15, someone want to read that nice and loud for us?
Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth.
So you see the key there at the end, rightly handling the word of truth. In other words, is there more than one way to handle the word of God? Yeah, right? That's the implication in the word. Of course, as many of you are starting to realize and you're working through, it's a joy to see you realize there are wrong ways to handle the book in your hands. Lots of wrong ways. This is one of the main motivations for me to go down and get trained. I realized that as a young Christian, really fired up about the Lord, maybe you can relate to this, as I started to open my mouth about the Word of God, let me tell you, there was a moment where I realized I have no idea what I'm talking about. I have no clue. This just feels right. This is an experience, right? All of a sudden, it just dawned on me that we need to rightly handle the Word of truth. So that's 2 Timothy 2:15. So that's the introduction to this lesson. We want to rightly, brothers and sisters, handle the Word of truth. So why know the Bible? Look at the verse again. To rightly handle it. The very first thing we would say is, why do we want to know the Bible? Why are you in this class this morning? Why did you get up earlier today? Because you want to rightly handle the Word. Maybe you're like me a few years ago. Maybe you're going through this now. You realize, wow, I've not been taught. I've been mistaught. I've been negligent. I want to rightly handle the Word of God. Jerry and I, we share that with you. That's what we want. There can be nothing more important. Because let me submit this to you. If you wrongly handle the Word of God, not only are you off the mark, that could be very dangerous. Right? Says a soldier, police officer, giving a gun to someone who's untrained to use it, and all the analogies you can come up with. No, we want to rightly handle the Word of God. Because this is living and active, right? It's a powerful word. Go to 1 Peter 2:2. By the way, with that first one, as you're turning to 1 Peter 2:2, what we want to do, and I want to blow up a few myths this morning. I want to blow up the myths that says only trained people can understand God's word. You don't have to raise your hand. I'll do it for you. You've heard that, right? Only trained people. That's why we need Jason and Jerry. Because they went down, then they go to schools, and they kind of know. There's No. Not only trained people. You too. Like people come to me and they say things like this. Well, I'm not a reader. Well, it turns out God designed you to read. And he actually gave us a word to be read. So what I want to do is not kind of make you feel bad through it. I want to push us through together to say, no, God designed us, right, to not only read, but to learn. So I want to bust that myth up that only trained people can understand God's word. Jared.
Could I say that this is also training?
Yeah. Well said.
Or discipleship is training also?
Yeah. That's good, Jared. And it flows out of our mandate in Ephesians 4. Why are we here, right? What's the purpose of the called out ones gathering? Right? It's the ecclesia gathering as an assembly. Our purpose and those, right? And we recognize there's offices and, right, positions people have and roles and giftings and so on. But to equip the saints, to equip you, Ephesians 4, for the work of the ministry. So yeah, it happens right here. In fact, I know, Jerry, we've talked about this a lot. Our heart is that, look, it's good if some of us go off and get trained and say in some quarters, that's super helpful, but it's not necessary for you to flourish in the Christian life. In fact, it's not necessary for you to know your Bible as thoroughly as you want to, right? It's just not necessary. We want to have a fully functioning culture here where we understand and exhort one another to read and handle the word right. So let's bust that myth. So someone read 1 Peter 2:2. Who's got it?
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby.
So, depending on your translation, here's the idea. Growth. And growth in salvation. So again, you've heard me say this a lot. You've heard the men say this a lot. It's not just salvation. Okay, you're good now, and God moves on to someone else who we can save. It's to grow in that salvation, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? To grow in it. So why know the Bible? So that we can grow and live out this salvation, to grow closer to God, a deeper knowledge of who he is. And here we bust another myth, right? We bust another one. It's not just to assemble facts, to win a discussion or debate. This Thanksgiving, when Uncle Joe comes at me, I've got this one licked, right? That's not why you learn the Bible or why you're here. You primarily do it, right, to grow closer to God. And even more, we need to repent of attitudes that just want to win debates. Our attitude in everything should be, these are souls. Some that are bound for hell, some that need to grow, right? So we need to, again, blow this idea up that it's just assembling facts and I'm going to get this one and I'm not going to be outsmarted again. No. We rightly handle the Word of God to grow closer to God. Does that make sense? And again, you know, shoot up your hand with any questions there. This is a very practical lesson, the second one, so I want to do that together with you. Go to Psalm 119. The next three are in there. Someone read Psalm 119, 11. In fact, I suspect some of you might have this memorized. This is a very famous Sunday school verse to memorize, and it's a good one. Who's got that?
I have stored up your word in my heart, but I might not sin against you.
So the storage of the living word in the heart is for the purpose of what, says the psalmist?
Not sinning.
So direct and clear, isn't it? The psalmist says, I'm going to store it up. This is what I've done for the express purpose in Psalm 119:11 that I would not sin, transgress your covenant and law. Make sense? So to keep from sinning. So you think about memorizing God's word. Does it help us overcome sin and temptations from Satan?
Yes.
Yes, it does. Can't say that enough. I think of my own Christian walk, so many times a memorized verse. There's no temptation, right? Not common to man. Lord gives you a way of escape, 1 Corinthians 10, right? It's just one of many, right? Having that ever present on your mind because Satan is the accuser and the world is filled with lies and even our own flesh can assault us with these things. But the word of God is true, stands forever, and to keep it stored up in our heart is preventative medicine spiritually from sinning. So keep that in mind. Psalm 119:38. Someone read that. There's more here. Why know the Bible? Why else?
Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared.
Love that. Confirm, right? There's a sense of affirmation here. Establishment for the saint. Why purpose? What's the purpose?
To fear God.
To fear God, to rightly approach him. Talked about this a lot, or talking about it with the men in leadership training. The mass problem, the spiritual pandemic, if you will, in the church, is people don't fear God. Right? That's the problem. They don't. They fear everything else, right? Especially, and we'll comment on this morning, on what's going on in the Middle East now, and all these other fears are coming up with people. We're going to talk about that this morning. But the preeminent fear must be what?
God.
And you know, when God gives you promises, and he is the one you fear, do you know what that equation equals out to? And I'm not trying to be trite this morning. Peace. Peace. It's peace, right? Not just peace in the Middle East. Peace. Peace. He is the God above all things, right? So think about this. There's a confirmation, right? When we handle the Word of God, a confirmation has us rightly approach God to fear him and fear him alone. One more. Go to 105, verse 105. Why know the Bible? Who's got that? Just read that out. Psalm 119, 105.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
To guide us, right? Do you see that? And the picture there in verse 105 is so good, so clear, why we use flashlights and so on. The Word of God does that for our soul. Right? Think about trying to navigate life spiritually in any way without spiritual compass, map, and direction. The Word of God, right, when you think about it, is our guide for these things. So why know the Bible? So that we can live a spiritual life. It sounds so elementary, isn't it? But it's base things that we forget. One of the problems is we've looked to outsource spirituality outside the Word of God. And what do you think happens when we begin to do that? You outsource spiritual solution outside of the Word of God. What happens?
You drift away.
You drift away. What else would happen? You've got a spiritual malady, and you're going outside the Word of God for that. What else happens?
Your problem will remain.
Yeah, your problem will, you drift away, problem will remain. One or two more. Again, very practical this morning. What else?
You fall into different sin.
Yeah, Rebecca, we would say you can compound it at times. Not all the time, but you can. And beloved, I want you to know this is why I, and I believe Jerry, and all of us are so passionate about rightly handling the Word of God. Rightly handling the Word of God, right? There's not just straying and neutrality. There's danger that can come. When we wrongly handle or we don't go to the Word for these things. It's a guide. It's a guide. Questions on that, thoughts, before we turn now to more questions that help us how to know the Bible. Anything on that? Does it make sense? I love the head nods. It's always good. Yeah, go ahead, Jerry. Yeah,
you know, the one with the light, it's not just for us, mm-hmm. but it's also the light for anyone. There's only one light in the world, right? And so if we want to, like, if men want to lead as men have to lead their families, or women, men and women have to lead their children, and we want to be a light to our neighbors, or the darkened world outside, there's no other solution except for the light of God's Word. So it's not just for us, but also for us now to take the light of God outside and lead others accordingly.
Amen. Jerry and I were talking this week, and share this, as a co-worker approached him, because they know Jerry. He's a Christian, right? And that's the other thing. His light's not buried in his workplace. He's Jerry the Christian guy, the Jesus guy. Well, you can imagine, he's got a co-worker who's like, Jerry, what in the world is going on in the Middle East, right? In one sense, not to get into all that, you can ask Jerry about that. Point is, Jesus said in John 8, I am the light of the world, right? So it's not just the Jesus guy. There's a sense where people are recognizing, okay, not anything special about Jerry, but what is this about Jesus? What are you living? What are you saying? It guides us into these things. So for the unbeliever, they're looking for light. They're looking for truth. They're looking for meaning. And as Christians, right, and, you know, Jesus talked about this in the Sermon on the Mount, right? Our place is salt and light and all of those things. So yeah, very good. For all the world, not just for us as Christians, but for all the world.
Jason?
Yeah?
A question on that. So we look at evangelical Christians.
Mm.
And they would be well studied, and you'd have, right now, the whole topic of dispensationalism and replacement theology.
Yeah.
Is front and foremost, right?
Yeah.
And replacement theology would say, absolutely, this is what the Word of God says.
Mm.
Dispensationalists would say, absolutely, this is what the Word of God says.
Right.
And you can go, there's many different areas within Christian circles. So could you comment on that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I would say, Glenn, just to make a quick comment on that, we were actually talking about this on the drive-in this morning, right, about authority and interpretation. One of the things I would say, without it coming across like Westmount just saying they have the corner on the truth. That's not what we're saying. We're fallible till glory. But one of the issues there, I would say, Glenn, is going on is what is the authority in some of these churches, right? What is it? Is it sola scriptura, right? Where I would say, Glenn, respectfully, some might say it is, but is it really? Are they rightly handling it? So they would say it's this, but even then I can recognize that this is my authority, but am I rightly handling it? And we're going to get into this next week. And this would be one, Glenn, I think is going to be enlightening. Hermeneutics. This is the first course we learn in seminary for a reason. Because I would have gone in there saying, I know my Bible, I know how to write it, and I would say I even know how to interpret it. My mind was blown apart when I realized I'm not even reading this right. Reading it like a recipe card, or I'm reading it like an email, or whatever, I realize I'm not even reading it the right way. So again, what I would say respectfully, especially think about in this room, all our different church experiences, and I just do need to say it, I think by and large, most churches are not rightly handling the Word of God. I mean, I've heard more and more of it this week, even just a wrong understanding. So what I would say, brother, to that is, a lot of people will say, well, I really feel this, and you're going to hear buzzwords like this. I've studied the scriptures. I know. You're going to hear those buzzwords, and those confuse. But what you want to do is dig in. It's like the unbeliever, or the believer that says, oh, my unbelieving friend knows the Bible really well. You know what I'm saying to that? That's actually impossible as an unbeliever. Like, they may have read it as a book. It's just impossible, with all due respect, right? In the same way in the church, there's things we get caught in. Well, what if they say this and they say this? So, Glenn, I think next week we're going to unpack that more. And I think this will be revealing. Not to beat down other churches. That's not the point. The point is, what's the right way to handle the Word of God? And I pray for you, brothers and sisters. It'll be just as life-changing as it was for Jerry and myself to be like, wow, not even reading this the right way. And then watch what happens. I don't want to start preaching here, but yeah, I mean, just watch what happens when you start reading the Word properly. Oh, my word. Then it's like the floodgates come open, right? So we'll save that for next time. That's a great question, brother. And it's a perfect tee-up for where we're going next week. I love it. I love it. Thinking through the order of the day. So let's, on that too, let's ask some other questions. What happens, and I just want you to think about these. These are obviously self-evident. What happens if we don't eat? What happens if we don't eat enough? Think about this physically. And what happens if we don't eat the right food? What do we say? What do we say? We say what? Daily nourishment physically, but let's map it spiritually. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Who knows where that's from in the Word? Where is that?
Matthew 4.
Matthew 4.
The temptation of Jesus.
And Jesus is quoting who? Or where?
From Old Testament?
Yeah. He is? Where? I'm pulling a Jerry on you. I got a little Jerry on me here. That's right. You're like, oh, Jason's out there good. I don't have that. No. Where is that in the Old Testament?
Is it Deuteronomy by any chance?
It is. Deuteronomy 8. In fact, Daniel, read that for us. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. This is right in the law. And here's the point. In terms of our nourishment spiritually, if we neglect this word, so this is part of rightly handling it, right? There's a wrong way to handle it where we say, I don't need to read it or I'm too busy to read it, right? Spiritually, what happens? Go ahead, Daniel, read that.
And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
So clear. How do we live as spiritual people, as God's people? What is our nourishment?
Scripture word.
Yeah, God's word. God's word, it's our nourishment. So just imagine with me. Let's do this simple thing. If you don't read your Bible regularly, what may happen?
You're malnourished.
Exactly, Glenn. You are spiritually. And you know, here is the danger with spiritual malnourishment. We can really mask it, can't we? We can go spiritually starving, spiritually, our soul aching for it, and function completely normal. That's the problem, right? So we recognize we need this word. It's a part of understanding, rightly handling it, is understanding our need for it. And if we're not motivated that way, believe you me, we will not approach the Word of God in a right way. Does that make sense? Jesus said to them, John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now there's a promise. Christ. The words of Christ are in front of you, feeding on these words, right? Think about this. If you feed on these words, Christ's very words, you shall never hunger and you shall never thirst. Think about this. I remember as an unbeliever thinking about all my questions and wanting truth and wanting to know. I don't know if you've been there, maybe even as a young Christian. And just the more and more reading God's word, one of the privileges I have is to study this week in and week out, and just all the answers that are here, answers to questions I didn't even have in my mind yet, right? And they're here. And it's the same for us, for all of you. And this is what I say, this is not something just for the guys to study and give to you. Every day, every morning you wake up, before you go to bed, you have the cosmic honor of reading the words from Creator. Can you imagine that intimacy? The one who created everything invites you to a table of learning every day. In fact, as many times as you want during the day. Isn't that amazing? And it's just nourishing your soul, bolstering your soul. It's one of the things, again, I'll comment more on things this morning. One of the problems I might suggest, and I'll make a brief comment on it tonight and more on Wednesday. This week, I think a lot of people have been filling their soul with the wrong information. I need to know what's happening in the Middle East, right? But not at the expense of the Word of God. The more I fill my intake of what's going on this week with the Word of God, the better off I will be, and so will you. So one of the problems is we're way out of balance. News feeds, what's going on there, what's next, when are they going in, all of these things at the expense of the Word of God. Make sense? And with that, this is where we get into now how to know the Bible. These are kind of more downstream things we need to think about. Think about maturity. I'll never forget one heartbreaking moment a few years ago was an older person in the church coming to me and basically confessing to me, I may be older, I've been in church my whole life, but I'm an immature Christian. Man, that was a very difficult moment because they were coming to grips with the fact that everything that they thought they knew about the Word of God, right, was unchallenged. There was no housekeeping spiritually. Good news with all those things, right? It's good and God's in it, and how quickly God can get you back on track no matter where you're at. But maturity is another thing that can be masked. Maturity is not simply, I've been in church all my life, or I know, right, those verses from Sunday school. That's not maturity. Let's look at what maturity is. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 2. Who's got that? Let's look at the Word of God and its diagnosis. Someone read that for us, nice and loud.
But I, brothers, did not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not yet ready.
So Paul, the Apostle Paul, was with the Corinthians, right? And what's his charge to these Corinthian believers in this letter? They're brothers, they're believers. What's he saying? You think about what you know about the Corinthian letters and what's going on in Corinth. What does he say? What's his charge?
They're infants in Christ.
Infants in Christ. All of this is, look, we're going to get to these issues. You've written to me, the apostle is like he's saying, you've written to me, and I'm going to get to all the laundry list of things that you need to. But you know what the fundamental problem is? You're still infants in Christ. Can we not say the same today? Yeah, I've been good running with this. Jason, you have a lot of things that you want to say, but right? You're still an infant in Christ, right? So it's the same thing, and it's about knowing God here. Think about this. The Corinthians had Paul. I think Paul would have been a good teacher, don't you think? I think he would have been capable. Like he knew his stuff, I think. And yet then they depart from these things, and Paul basically comes there like a loving father to say, wow, even now you can't handle the solid food, right? Can't handle it. Who's got Hebrews 5? A similar group. We're going to move from Gentiles to Jews here. Hebrews 5. Who's got that for us? 11 to 14.
About this we have much to say. It's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil.
So what do you see that's similar in both passages here as we move now to Hebrews?
Infant's diet.
Yeah.
The infant's diet.
Infant diet. See, the same thing. You need milk, not solid food. Now, Gentiles with Paul for a time is one thing. Imagine the Jew. Should the Jew know the oracles of God? Absolutely. This is the excoriation from the author of the Hebrews, right? He says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. Every Jew at this point in the first century should have been capable to teach, especially with the advent of Messiah. You should be teaching these things, because here he is. The basic principles of the oracles of God. But look what he says, for everyone who lives on milk, now think about this for each of us. Everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. Wow. We need to feel that for a moment. Remember in seminary, one of my professors who wrote books said this to me, said, in the Christian publishing world, all people want now are 365 devotionals. That's all they want. Do you feel that? That's all they want. And maybe all of us feel that a little bit. I have 47 seconds. I needed a power punch from God. Is that not true? No. So this is where, and look at it again, for everyone who lives on milk or the devotional is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child, says the word of God. One of the things, and I want to challenge you in this group, knowing all of you, we can go deeper. It's stunning to me, and I guess use these things providentially, how much people can tell me about Israel and Hamas in the Middle East, but cannot tell me about the word of God. Isn't it amazing? You have it. You can do it. It's where you determine to spend your energy. Right? That makes sense. And we want to challenge each other together, right? We want to embrace these things, not buck against them. We want to embrace them. We're ready now, right? We're ready. So go to Colossians 1 as well. And look at this. Here's the real nub of it. This is why. How to know the word of God. Why? Someone read 1, 9 to 10.
And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Well, someone unpack that for us. What is Paul, what's his prayer, and at the heart of it, why? What is this? What's Paul's prayer for the Colossian church?
To be filled with the knowledge of his will.
Yeah.
And spiritual wisdom.
And what's the trajectory of that? If we were to keep going. Verse 10. Particularly at the end. Mm-hmm. What do you see there?
To please God, bear fruit, and increase in knowledge of God.
Yeah. Let's camp out on that. Increasing in the knowledge of God. What a culture we're in. I want to just help you map some of the things we're in. We're in the USB culture. Just like, oh, can I get that manual? Let me download it, and then I'm done. I don't need any more knowledge acquisition, right? We import that into our spiritual life, and it doesn't work that way. No USB key with understanding God, but there's a growing and a constant feeding on the word, increasing in the knowledge of God. For those of you that have been around Westmount for a bit, you know I repeat myself so much, and I'll repeat it again to say what a joy it's been to hear people, right, that have come even maybe before some of you. And it kind of, it never grows old to me. I was reading the Gospel of John, and Jason, I thought I read it. It was like, ding, 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 I just love it. What's going on in John 6? Has that verse always been in there? I say, yes, it has. For the 20 times you read it before, it was there, and it's there now the 21st time. And now you have eyes to see. Now you finally are starting to see. What a joy. What an absolute joy. So we don't just say, okay, I've got it, and I know it, right? Not that that's is an attitude any of you have. We increase. It's not just the knowledge of God and salvation. It's increasing in the knowledge of God. That's maturity. Maturity is growing in that. Daniel?
Well, just a comment. Growing up in the church, I've heard the sentiment of, we can spend too much time knowing about God and not actually experiencing him or doing his good works. Whereas this verse tells you that actually increasing in knowledge and bearing fruit in every good work, they go hand in hand.
Yeah, well said, Daniel. Yeah, and they're going to do a little Mary and Martha on you as well too, right? They're going to do something like that. What about Mary and Martha? No, we want to blow these things up. I love how you said it, Daniel. They go together, right? These two things are intricately connected. So let's not lose that. Very good. Very good. Okay. Some more questions. Let's do even more. So if that has not been enough, and I've worked hopefully through a pyramid here, let's get down to even some base practicalities. How do you identify wrong teaching? Some have come over the past few years and they say, wow, I didn't realize it was wrong. How do you identify wrong teaching? How do you know if something is off? Had a few people really concerned about that. They're like, okay, I get it. I'm starting to see, but how do I know if something's off? And how do you then defend against false teachers? Now, again, remember the right heart. They feel like they got to go to a dinner table or they got to call up people at their old church and be like, yeah, no. That's not what we're doing. How do you just first and foremost know? God will give you the words in those moments. But even more than this, how do I identify weak or soft Bible instruction? See how it's more penetrating? How do I recognize watered-down studies? How do I see that something is missing? So do you see, this is filled with practical pieces. Filled, filled, filled. And maybe you're asking these questions now, right? This is now the third order, fourth order goods. You've heard Barris talk about it. You've heard me talk about it. You just know the real thing. There is no, I got to go and study Islam with what's going on now. I got to learn about everything about what they believe because, you know, whatever is going on. Or I've got to learn about New Ageism or the roots of whatever, mysticism. No, no, no. Know the one thing, the real thing, and the real thing is where?
In the Word of God, the Bible.
Right, in the Bible. Study this thing. And that's all you need for all of these, right? That's all you need. Insert a Bible there instead of the $100, right? It's worth far more than that, of course. But know the real thing. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 1:8-9. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. I say again, let him be accursed. This is its own motivation to make sure we've got the message right. I don't want to be one in here. Look, he says an angel from heaven or we. He groups himself in it. I shudder, of course, because of what I'm charged to do every week, that I don't want to be saying false things to you. You should be shuddering because you don't want to be taking in false things and believing false things and handling it wrongly. As I can be accursed as a teacher, you can be accursed as a learner. So it's incumbent on us to know the thing. Know this thing. And believe me, it's amazing. If you just study the Word of God, not study everything else, and there are people to do that. I recognize people called to study other things. But for us here, West wants to study the Word of God, you'd be amazed at how things start to fall into shape. Remember some true story a few years ago when I first came to Westmount, someone said to me, Jason, I'm not a learner. I'm not an academic guy. And I, you know, I'm not like you. This is someone who'd been in the church a long time. I'd say to this point, they're gone now. They've passed on. Very, very simple faith, right? Just worked and challenged it and said, well, just read your Bible. Like, let's keep reading the Bible. What a joy. About 3 years later, after he said that comment to me, he said, Jason, I got to tell you something. We went to our relatives this weekend, and we went to a church, and you know how this ends. Gone there before, now I've gone there now, and man, like, the conversations, like, this is wrong. What are you doing sitting at this church? This is from the guy that said, I'm not a learner, I don't understand, and I challenged him just to read the Word. And here he is coming to me 3 years later. In fact, he had the bulletin from the church. He's like, look at this, tell me, I think this is wrong. And God, like, you got it, man, you got it. That's exactly it. The man with simple faith, all of a sudden now, he's not just going to a dinner table and he's like, I got to keep my mouth shut because I just don't know. He's just gently challenging his family. He's like, this church is teaching heresy. I don't think you should be here. So good. So good. So I share that by way of encouragement for you. Any thoughts, questions before we land it? And yep.
Yeah, I agree 100% with what you're saying about the primacy of the Word of God and knowing it is important. But I also see that, for example, I've had conversations with people, Muslim folks, that talk about Islam being the religion of peace, and then being able to take them to the different surahs in the Quran, which say something very, very different, and how they distorted the Holy Scriptures. So I think there are times when those things can also be helpful.
Oh, no doubt. Glenn, I would say not only no doubt, we need people like you and others. However, for every one of those, this is really good, Glenn, let me tell you something. That's not for everyone. So you're right. So I would say I affirm that. I've actually sat in my office with someone crying because they've been exposed to false teaching and they're not a Glenn Robson. They can't handle it. And I actually have had someone, their faith has becoming shattered because they opened that book. So brother, you're right. It's like, I don't know how those cops track down the child molesters and they watch the things they do. Hey, I don't know how they do it. Someone has to do that. So on your point, to affirm, someone, we're thankful for those that know it. But I actually want to say to more of a broad audience, know the Word. Know the Word. And praise God for men raised up like that. Yeah, Daniel.
I guess another way of putting it, some people need to know more about Islam. Some people need to know more about the New Age thing. But everyone should know the Bible. Well, every one of these people should know that. That's at least like the bare minimum.
Well said. Well said. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to. I actually wanted to speak to that also. Often we think that we need to know every detail in the Bible in order to know what's wrong out there before we know what's right. But if we were to take a simple statement, like, you know, scientists have discovered a 4,000-year-old Toyota, right? Archaeologists have discovered a 4,000-year-old Toyota in the sands of Egypt. There's probably one person in this room, Jaden, who may not know how to refute that.
Oh.
Right? None of us are going to fall for that. Although I can guarantee you, most of us don't know when the car was invented.
Right.
We don't know the exact date a car was invented. We don't know the story that led up to the invention of the car. But I know that there's no way they found a 4,000-year-old Toyota in Egypt.
Right.
Why? Because there's a body of knowledge that I have that informs at a very, like, within half a second, that's wrong. I don't know the right answer, but I know that's wrong.
Yeah.
Right? So reading God's word gives us this body of knowledge or this information to say, that's not right, that's right. Right? So just answering those other questions of how do I know what's deep, what's there or not. And just as the example of that, you know, that brother, he might not know all the right answers, but he's able to sniff out now, that doesn't look right from what that church was teaching.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Well,
so that's one. Then the second one I wanted to say was, in my experience, the difference between knowing God's word and growing spiritually and not knowing God's word and the confusion that was there is actually very simple. But I didn't want to accept it until I did it, which is just read the Bible.
Mm.
Right? Respectfully, as in, like, read it from the beginning to read it to the end, not like verse of the day, devotion of the day. Let me just, like, you know, open my Bible randomly and just read a passage that I feel good about. Actually read it cover to cover as you would read any other book.
Right.
Right? And keep reading it, keep reading it, and keep reading it. And that made a big difference for me. Seminary didn't do that. Just reading the Bible actually completely changed.
Yeah.
Changed my life from confusion to order.
Yeah. Good.
And you're
good.
Sorry, not to belabor, but sometimes even us Christians can believe the lie. It can't be that simple. It can't be that simple.
Yeah.
Right.
Because reading the Bible is really going to transform our lives. It can't be that simple.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Glenn, it's true. And in fact, I would say that's good. I think there is a low-grade fever that we have with those things. We really do. I see it all the time in almost every counseling case. Well, really. So, Glenn, you got your finger on something right there. And we have to repent of that unbelief. Right? If we're looking for life change and in our circumstance, we've got to repent of unbelief. You can't. Gospel is bigger than all these things, for sure. So, well said. All right, let's get super practical now before we get into hermeneutics next week. How to know the Bible. We hear it. We hear it. A few of you grabbed some of these passages here. Someone grabbed Nehemiah 8, 7 to 8. Someone grabbed Luke 11. Another Romans 10. And someone else 2 Timothy 4, 2. Read and then brief comments. So again, what are we talking about? How to know the Bible. We hear it. Who's got Nehemiah 8, 7 to 8? Sorry.
I mean, it's fine, but it's...
Let's get Jerry to read.
Yeah,
that.
I was going
to
say.
Well, you could. You know what? The point is not necessarily the names. You can see kind of the end of verse 7 there.
Verse 8. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabetithai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kelida, Azariah, Josabed, Hanan, Peliah the Levites helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading.
So what's going on there? The returned exiles come back, right? And you have the reading of the word. And in fact, if we were to read the whole context of the chapter there, they're standing there giving it a hearing. They're hearing it in the assembly. We talk about this a lot, right? The Kohala, the Ecclesia, there's an assembly and they hear it. as you can see there, here at Westmont, you're going to hear the word later on as well in the assembly. So hear it. Luke 11:28. A little more accessible there. Who's got that?
But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
It is. Blessed are those who what? Hear it. And note this always in the Bible. Much we could say about this. Hearing and keeping, hearing and obeying are always tied together. There's no sense of this cursory hearing and then in one ear, out the other. Biblically, hearing is doing. James 2, right? It's knowing. Be doer of the word. Romans 10, who's got that?
So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ.
Faith comes through?
Hearing.
Have to hear. Think about for all of you. And your salvation, it came from what? Hearing. God obviously doing the inward work, right? Of regeneration, but it came through hearing the word. 2 Timothy 4:2, who's got that?
Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching.
Paul tells young Timothy, preach it. The implication, because people need to hear it. Preach the word. Preach the word. The time is coming where they won't endure sound teaching. Preach it, preach it, preach it. That's the antidote to these things. We just, more word, right? The time is coming. Time is coming. More word, more word. So, what do? We hear the word. Secondly, we read it. So it's not just to hear it. That is fundamental, to hear it, but we read it. Someone grab Matthew 12. Someone else 1 Timothy 4. Someone Revelation 1. Who's got that? Matthew 12:3.
He said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him?
Of course, there's more going on in this passage. What I love Jesus is doing here, and he does this at other times. Have you not read? Right? It's kind of like when I was confronted as an unbeliever. Someone really said, I don't think you've actually read it. You're telling me it's a big storybook and 300 men gathered around a candle in the 3rd century. But Jason, I don't think you've read it. And God was using it to read it. We read it. Not just for unbelievers, but even for us. Have a doctrine teaching. Have we read it? Jesus here, think about this. This is his underpinning of his excoriation of the Pharisees. Have you not read? Have you not read it? Right? I.e., maybe you have it. 1 Timothy 4:13. Who's got that?
Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching.
Yeah, so not just reading it yourself and your devotion and your time with the Lord, your meditations. The public, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. People come and they're new to Westmount. One of the things they always say is, man, you guys, there's so much Bible in the Sunday morning. Is it reading it? You're singing it? Right? Like, we're just obeying the Word, right? That's exactly what the Word says. Now, we want to do that, of course. But the Word says, right, do that. Give us the public reading. And who's got Revelation 1:3?
Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and keep what is written, for the time is near.
Yeah, so good. It's almost a blending of the two together, the reading and the hearing, right? And think about that in the context of visions at the end that the Apostle John is going to receive, right? So blessed is the one, right, reads and hears. Okay, how to know the Bible? So we hear it, we read it, and we study it. We were to blow up another one, another myth, again, remember, this is not the training that is needed for everyone, or the special training, or that you need to, this is where we take it even further, you need to cloister yourself away like a monk or in an ivory tower, right, to study for X amount of time. You can live and learn, right, and we're called to do that all the time. We talked about this at the conference this weekend, right? Live and learn at the same time. You don't need to go and be removed. No. But what might it look like to study it? What might that look like? Someone go to Proverbs 2, 1 to 5. Someone else cue up Acts 17.
Mm-hmm.
My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God.
So Solomon writing here in these Proverbs, right, to a son, not just a proverbial son. But here's what he's saying, Solomon, right, receiving the words of God, the inspired words. He says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments with you, and then what? Let's pull out a few of these. What does it look like to interact with the word of God? What do you see there? What's the posture?
Searching,
Laura, searching, good. And not even just searching, seek it like silver. As it's a treasure, do you seek the word of God like the treasure that it is? What else is there? What else for posture?
Be attentive?
Yeah, and look what it says. Making your ear attentive. We're going to talk about this in a moment before we close. This is an intentional being at attention, making it attentive. What else?
Call out for insight.
Yeah, call out for insight. Ask God to help you. We're going to look at that later as well, too. Is that one, Joshua? Is that? Oh, okay. What else? There's lots of gold in here. What about your heart?
Inclining your heart to understanding.
Inclining your heart to understanding. Our hearts are inclined all kinds of places now, aren't they? But is it inclined to the understanding of the Word of God, right? I think that's the key. We're all called to that, right? Many more we can say, but look at then what is said in verse 5. Then, when you do those things, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So it's a right posture, a right approach. And here's the delivery. Here's the outcome, the term that you will then find what you're seeking, right? The knowledge of God. Acts 17, 10 to 11. Who's got that? Let's look at a group who we certainly want to model. Paul's missionary journey, right? And this group was lauded. You know them. Acts 17, 10 to 11.
The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so.
So these Berean Jews are praised for their nobility. Why? Why?
They searched the scriptures to see if so.
Yeah, they did a fact check. They did their own, right? Is this so? And what's the posture of that checking? What was the posture? Just a mundane duty. Well, I guess I got to do this. I got to fact check.
They did it eagerly.
Eagerly. And that needs to be our posture, too. I say this so often, and blessed to have this at West Mount Menu. Yeah, David.
And daily.
And daily. Good, Dave. That's good. Good one. Regular. Daily, eagerly, are these things so? Blessed here to have such active listeners. You guys keep me sharp and the teacher sharp. That's what it needs to be. I always say this. Don't just take what Jerry says or what I say or the Jeremy say. Check the scriptures daily yourselves eagerly to see if these things are so. Believe me, the four of us have many things to say, right? Check the scriptures daily to see if it's so. If it is so. Is that fair? Okay. So we need to, again, remember, study it. This is studying it ourselves. I don't know if anyone know Awana. Anyone been in Awana? Yeah, amen. Amen. All good. Our boys are in Awana in California. And what's the hallmark of Awana? Memorize it, right? Like they just drill it down. One of the reasons we love it. Awana just pounds it in. They're going to shower you with candy and all that just to memorize those verses, right? But it's good. I think it's a good thing. Now, we want to move beyond that, and I want to pull it up, not just for the Jaden era kind of person, right? The young person. I want to pull it up to all of us. You see these in homes, right? And it's good to have these on your doorposts, so to speak. Someone get Deuteronomy 11. Someone get Psalm 119. Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 19. What does it say? Who's got it? Just read it. Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 19.
You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise.
Who's got Psalm 119, 9 to 11? Read that.
How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you, let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you.
Again, we could say this, how can we live the Christian life without words stored up in our heart, without memorizing? How can we do those things? One way, this is just a tip, especially for those with younger kids. One of the things that our boys were blessed with was scripture to music. Do that in the kids ministry here, because man, Atticus will still tell you he has the beginning part of Romans 5 memorized because he heard seeds sing it, right? All kinds of great things. You can talk to us about that, anyone about that. It's really helpful and a great way. God has done something with music and our soul, and you put the two together and it lasts. It really, really lasts. So something to keep in mind. Memorize. And we're going to, those of you that come to midweek gathering, we're going to be talking about this, the disciplines, and one of them is going to be memorization. So we're going to be talking about that in November. All right, how to know the Bible, finally, meditate on it. How about that guy, eh? How about
that?
Mark, you know what we're talking about right here, right? Mark knows what we're talking about. In fact, Mark can correct me if I'm wrong. We don't chew and then spit out, but for cows, the fibrous feed, right, the hay, they need it, but they have to break it down. So they have to really chew on it, and make it so that they're ready to digest it. You see the illustration there? It's the same for us with the Word of God. In fact, I might say, how much more with the Word of God? And I know we all do this. We all do it. You just give a skim read, and you got a busy day, and you move on. And then someone says, what did you read today? I didn't understand what I was reading because we didn't let it sink deep. It's like eating our food and then spitting it out, right? We're not letting it digest. So let's do this. Go to Joshua 1 and someone grab Psalm 1. Joshua 1, who's got that? Verse 8. Someone give it to us.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
You know, you look at Joshua 1, what do you say? Joshua, where are the military commands? Come on, man, we're going to go do the conquest. Give us some sword, give us some metal on metal. No, what does Yahweh say? Here's the one thing you need in preparation for the conquest. It's what?
Meditate on it.
Meditate on God's word. So who's got Psalm 1, 1 to 2? We'll see the same thing here.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
Look at the frequency there. On his law, he meditates day and night. That's the man and woman of God, that they would do that. That's the one aligned rightly with the right man, with seed, right? He meditates on his law day and night. Luke 6:45, you can just note that. Talks about the heart being fed rightly, and then good fruit comes out. So the meditation, the digestion, produces good fruit in the spiritual life. All right, we need to close with this. Finally, approaching the Bible just very, very quickly. So before you begin to handle the Word of God, before you begin, maybe tonight or tomorrow, I submit to you these very, this is like base practical stuff here, right? Base. Remove, confess, pray. I want you to apply this diagnostic every time you approach the Word of God. Remove, confess, pray. What are we meaning? Do not read the Bible in that environment. You're like, Jason, you're really dogmatic. I know. Don't read the, why? Tell me why you would never read the Bible in that kind of an environment. Why? Oh, notifications. Don't they drive you crazy? By the way, experience the liberation of turning off notifications. Can I give a hallelujah to that? Like, I mean, right now, notification, I don't have the ping, 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 ping. Just turn them off. Like, well, how do you hear from the guy? Well, yeah, the Lord has worked it out. I mean, do it. Turn it off. What an assault of gadgets and things. Turn it off. Turn it off. In fact, if I could do this, you could just clear the whole thing off and just slap a Bible on there. That's it. Right? Isn't that refreshing? Do that. And I listen, again, I'm not saying this to say do this. I just want to say you, like I'm some reformed smoker here or something. Just I'm telling you right now, it will change your life. Just get up in the morning. Don't. Listen, resist the temptation to check news and email first. The very first thing you do, it will change your life. I'm being very, very serious. Just grab the word. You say, I don't care if it's a few minutes, if it's an hour. Just grab the word. Before any other input comes into you, let God come into you. Please do that. Please.
Can you do it concurrently with coffee, though?
Yeah, amen, brother. We got two amen. I got an amen from it. Praise God for Java. Praise God for that. Yes, you can. So Bible and coffee go. I do that too.
I'm getting worried for me.
Yeah, I'm dogmatic, but not that dogmatic for sure. Yeah. So listen, you get the point. And listen, and all, you know, to lighten it a little bit, I recognize life happens. It's the life we can control that I'm talking about. It's the excuses that we make. We have enough inputs. Before you begin, remove all the other inputs but the Word of God. Before you begin, confess. Let's do these quickly. We're out of time. So someone, I need quickly, Proverbs 20:13, Isaiah 59, Jeremiah 5. Let's have somebody read those quick.
Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy.
Conceals sin. And there's a prosperity tied to hidden sin. Who's got Isaiah 59?
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear.
So what's from through the prophet Jeremiah to Israel? Your sins, Israel, have caused a separation between you and your God. And this is what we see. Same principle when we approach, right, God. In Jeremiah 5, who's got that?
Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have kept good from you.
Yeah, so Isaiah, Jeremiah, here's the principle. Same principle. When you approach God, when you're looking to live for God, to be the people of God, you must confess sin. You remove distraction, and you must confess. Don't do what I would submit many, many do, and try to read the word and still be hanging on to sin. There is, and then one may wonder, why am I not getting anything out of it? Why is my life spiraling? So I love that we celebrate the Lord's table and participate in it every week. What an economy. I felt it in my own life. Many of you have too. To let that pure water flow, right? Confess. The joy of the Christian life is confession, because you can confess and be assured of pardon and mercy. Isn't that amazing? This is not a, I sinned again. No, confess it. Don't hide it. Don't bury it in your heart. Confess. And then finally, pray. Open my eyes. Look to say this when you read the word, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. God, help me. Help me by way of your Spirit to see the things I need to see. All right, how to know the Bible? Who wants to take a stab at these? What are they? Who remembers them? Number one.
Hear.
Number two.
Read.
Good. Three.
Study.
Oh, wow. Four.
Memorize.
Yeah, five.
Meditate.
Excellent. Hear, read, study, memorize, meditate. Excellent. That's how to know the Bible at a very, very practical level. Next week, we're going to get into, and this gets to Glenn's questions, so we're going to pick this up more, hermeneutics, which is a big word, really means interpreting. How do you interpret the Bible? That's kind of the big, big question. All right, we're going to close quickly. Danny, will you quickly close this in prayer?
Sure.
Then we'll get downstairs.
Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this morning, that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for this opportunity to study your scriptures and learn from Pastor Jason about your scriptures. I pray that you would prepare our hearts. I pray that you would cause us to turn our gaze towards you this morning and reorient us for the rest of this week based on you. Give us the discipline, Lord, to hear the Bible
read the Bible, study it, to memorize it as well, which comes hard for us, as well as not forget to meditate on your words as well. Bless this day and everyone involved in the service, here or minister, and bless the rest of this day. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.